Good morning. We appreciate so much your listening to this special service, this broadcast of a service to take the place of the Sunday morning, March 22 service. These are unique times, and we decided that it would be good if we could provide something for you, the family of Carlisle Alliance Church, to hear what God would have to say to us during this time. Pastor Doug will be preaching to us today, and I encourage you to listen attentively, even in this unique situation. Also, stay tuned for what we have happening in the future. As you know, last Sunday we did not conduct service. This Sunday, the 22nd, we are not obviously conducting service, but you will hear from us regarding future Sundays very soon. So let's allow me to lead us in prayer for this time. Oh Lord God, we thank you that you indeed are our hope, our strength, our confidence during this time. We are grateful that you are the sovereign King. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love. Thank you so much for the body of Christ in which we can fellowship with one another as we have opportunity, even in this unique time, doing it in a different way and different formats. So I pray, Lord, for Pastor Doug as he brings to us a message that you would anoint him and use him to encourage our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. Good morning, family. It's good to be able to at least get together this way. It is a little different, like Pastor Randy was saying. But I believe God has given me a message. I believe it actually he's as well for you, but as well as for me. As I was preparing for last week, and as you all know, we didn't have church, but I really believe this message is actually for today. And the question that came to mind as I was preparing was the body of Christ. Who are we? And especially in times like we are going through right now. Listen to this article from an Alliance Life. In a little town on the border of Jordan and Syria, the Alliance cares for thousands of refugees. As I peered down from the sky through my drone's eye view, the writer says, I was struck by a curious way this Muslim family ties their sheep together to keep them still while being milked. One long rope interlaces its way around their necks, tying them in a singular living mass. Is not this the way the Messiah weaves through the individual lives of believers to form us as one body? Without the rope, the sheep were wild, chaotic, he said, and panicky, a stark contrast to the calm security that they felt over the creatures once they were united. If I were a sheep with a rope around my neck, I imagine I would be afraid and resistant. But reality showed the opposite here. Perhaps we resist the Lord because we fear submitting to something we don't have control over. But when we allow Jesus to pull us into his body, we discover a beautiful peace in escaping this chaos of roaming our own path. Like these sheep, when we stop going our own way, the Father can use us for something greater than ourselves. Life-giving milk from one, life-giving ministry for the other. The body of Christ submits to Christ and allows him to bring them into a unified body in his kingdom of peace and safety. The body of Christ, who are we? If you have your Bibles with you there, could you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We're going to start with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look what Paul says about the body. The human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we are carefully protecting those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, today as we come to you, we just so desire to hear from you, and I pray that you would take this message and touch our hearts today. Holy Spirit, do your work in our homes as we're listening, all spread out throughout the community here, and use this to encourage us. Thank you, Lord, that you're with each one of us, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you just so care for every need that we have, and especially during these times that we're separated, you're still working in each one of our lives. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul talks about the body of Christ in this first section. As a human body is made up of many parts, he points out it is the same for the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up from people from all types of walk, cultures, and races. It's not just the Jews, nor is it just the Gentiles. As John says, Christ died for the whole world, all those he created and loves dearly, even as sinners, but desires and provides reconciliation through his sacrifice on the cross. Paul talks about how we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. This is key to how we become part of the body of Christ. Baptism could be regarded from two perspectives. The first would be the symbolic, where water baptism is the public statement that we are a follower of Jesus Christ and that we identify with him and he is our Lord and Savior. Symbolically, immersion, going into the water, submersion going under the water, and immersion coming out of the water depicts the illustration of us entering into Christ's death, experiencing forgiveness of our sins, and rising to walk in new life through Christ's resurrection. The second perspective would be based on where we are dependent on the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. This is the redemptive act through faith that we are entered into the righteousness of Christ through the Holy Spirit. It is not like when one is accepted into the honor society, but it is where we, who we are, and who we get our identification from, and our state of who our whole being and our soul and its righteousness is found through being one with Christ. This is the only access that we have. Our identification becomes with the Redeemer, Christ Jesus, God's Son. Paul related our spiritual condition through spiritual baptism, our participation in his death and resurrection. He says, when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we also have been raised to life as he was. Spiritual baptism happens at the point where through the grace of God, through faith in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we surrender all we are and all who we are and believe in Christ alone for our salvation, this is the gift of God. When then we then are a part of the body of Christ. Peter says that we participate in the divine nature. meaning that we, the believers, shares in the life of God by means of Christ and the Spirit living in him. The body of Christ is all who are followers, believers of Jesus. Not just Carlisle Alliance Church, but all of those who follow and believe in Jesus as their Savior throughout the whole world. We are all one body. We all make up the body of Christ. Together as one body, Christ reconciled believers to God by the means of a death on the cross. Paul states that the body has many different parts. Look with me at verse 14 again. Paul says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. The body of Christ is not just one part, but it's made up of many different parts. Paul used our physical body to help us understand the importance of each part. If we think about it, as we look at our bodies, there are a lot of important parts that we can't see with our own eyes. Imagine if we didn't have a heart to pump the blood for us to live, or a stomach to process the food for energy for this body, or how about a brain that gives us direction to our body to breathe and to process what we see with our eyes. Each part is so important, and without one, we would have a hard time living. Have you ever experienced the performance of a world-class symphony? I don't mean listening to music through our tiny earbuds or even a fancy home theater system. That would be listening to music. I'm talking about experiencing it. There's a major difference between listening to a recording of Mozart and experiencing it live at a symphony hall. The notes may be the same, but our awareness of the conductor and each of the members of the orchestra and the distinct movements and sounds of various instruments is completely lost when we only hear a recording of the sounds. There is something about seeing the music created before your very own eyes that results in a sense of wonder and exhilaration. Rather than thinking of the music as a technical satisfying product, we experience it as a profoundly incredible work of art. Listen to this writer that said about his wife and him going to the Pacific Symphony for Christmas. He heard these famous songs that he heard hundreds of times before he came to life as he watched a 50-piece orchestra create the melodic sounds of Silent Night and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It was amazing to pan across the stage and see each of these unique and gifted musicians playing individual notes on their instruments that resulted in this incredible symphony of sounds that filled the concert hall. When they did Sleigh Ride and they got to the second verse where you hear the giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go, let's look at the show, we're riding in a wonderful land of snow, I noticed the percussionist using two wooden blocks to make this clop-clop sound of horses running that you hear in the background of the song. I wouldn't have noticed this guy hidden away in the back with his wooden blocks in his hands, except that he was featured on the giant video screen in the hall as the camera zoomed in on him. He was making his clip-clop sound. I had never realized how important this little additional sound in the background was, enhancing the rich texture of the melody and the lifelike experience of the song. I thought about this as I was reading Paul's descriptions of different parts of the body this week. The percussionist was not a prominent position. He didn't play the violin, and he wasn't in the first chair right next to the conductor. He was tucked way in the back. Yet, without him, this unique sound that he was making with the little blocks of wood, it would not have been a complete sound to the music. Similarly, understanding how spiritual gifts work melodically in a church body takes more than just listening to the harmony and the members make when they're tuned into their gifts. It takes a sense of each member of the church as an essential individual instrument, vital to the whole body. And it takes an appreciation for the work of the great conductor, the Holy Spirit, who gifts and guides each individual and the body and according to his will and according to his purpose, the building up of the body of Christ. What does this look like in the body of Christ? If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 8, Paul says, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. That would be like giving communication of spiritual wisdom. He goes on to say to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. For example, the communication of practical truth. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, has unusual reliance on God. And to someone else, the Spirit gives a gift of healing, including restoration of life. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and the ability to prophesy, the ability to proclaim the unknown facts from God. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. For example, to discern truth, true prophecies from false, satanic ones. The Spirit goes on to give the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another has the ability to interpret what is being said. These lists are representative rather than exhaustive, and that there are many ways in which Christians can contribute to others that are considered spiritual gifts. We are told that all these gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Not only does He give us these gifts to us, but He decides what gift to give each of us. Each gift is important, and we should be living a lifestyle of humility as shown by Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus was in the upper room, when they just came in the upper room from walking the dusty and dirty roads? What does he do? He gets down on his knees, he gets the washbowl, and he starts washing his disciples' feet. He was given the example of humility to serve one another's. The disciples should have been washing his feet by right, but he was washing their feet. He was demonstrating a spirit of humility and how we should use our gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. Remember this truth, that when we become a believer in Christ, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Paul says, we have been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. The life we now live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Then we no longer become immature children, Paul says. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Paul goes on to say, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. When you've been on vacation, do you remember ever putting your face into a headless frame? It might have been a clown or a muscle man or maybe even a bear. Many of us have pictures of us taken when we had our head put in there. And the photos are humorous because the head doesn't fit the body. If we could picture Christ as the head of our local body of believers, would the world be laughing at us as misfits? Or would they stand in awe of the human body so closely related to the divine head? Finally, the body of Christ cares for each other. Look at verses 22 to 27 with me one more time. Paul says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. There is a special care and protection that happens in the body. We look out for each other, and there is oneness and unity among the body. This is not just done by one part of the body, but all the members care for each other. Here are some examples I found that helps us understand this oneness and unity Paul is encouraging us to live out. First one, can you imagine the heart sulking and saying, it's not fair, I want to be the eyes. They get to do two things, see things and help determine distances. All I get to do is pump blood. Sometimes I feel just like a workhorse. Or this other example, how about this? What's the point in the hand saying, it's not fair? How come the mouth gets to do all the eating? How come I never get to taste any food? Who benefits when the mouth eats? Is it just the mouth? Or what's the point in the big toe saying, how come the eyes get to see everything? And I don't get to see nothing. Who benefits when the eyes see? Is it just the eyes? Of course not. Everyone benefits, and especially the big toe, because if the eyes are doing their job, it doesn't get stubbed. The eyes see the food, the hands pick it up, the mouth chews it, the swallowing mechanism swallows it, the stomach digests it. Any failure of any of these parts, and we have problems. The last one made me think, how do we eat a banana? Well, first we separate the banana from the rest of the bunch. And this writer of this illustration said, and that's how the devil destroys Christian too, by separating us. We need to have oneness. We need to be united. We need to be working together. We need to be caring for one another, as Paul says. We need to be putting others first. Paul says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. God is counting on each member of the body of Christ to do their job. We need to minister one another more now than ever, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of us need to care for each other, reaching out by a phone call, by a text, by an email, whatever it is. And if one is suffering, we're all suffering with them. And if one is honored, we're honored with them. We are glad for them. None of us is more important than the other. We actually make a point to put others first if we're living like the body should be. It's not about me, as the world would like to make us know, especially if you watch TV. It's not about me, but it's about the rest as we put each other first. How different would it have been with the sheep if they all were on their own and left the elements and the wild animals only thinking about themselves? Why do you think Paul follows 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with chapter 13? That's the one that we know as a love chapter. I think he knew he needed to remind us, the body of Christ, how our actions and the way we live our lives, caring and putting others first is important. And Christ's love should be seen through us for each other. As we go throughout our lives, it is key that we remember who is the head of the body of Christ. Who is the head of our lives? Paul says he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, the supreme over all, who will rise from the dead, so he will be first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. What would history writers say about Carlisle Alliance Church 75 years to 100 from now? I mean, people will probably look back at this time. This is a very unique time. What do you think they would say? They did what it took to, because they were the body of Christ. I hope that's what they would say, that there are many buddies, and they need me. They need each other. They encouraged each other, took a stand for each other. They were selfless and put others first. And when someone was hurting, they hurt with them. And when someone was honored, all were glad for them. They would fight to the death for each other. And that motive made them invincible. So what is God saying to each of us today? We are the body of Christ, and He is the head of the body. Knowing that, are there things that you and I would be doing differently right now? Are there those of us who we need to come alongside, that we know that they need our help, and they need a word of an encouragement in some way? Is there something the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart right now? Some action, some step, something you need to do. Through it all, may God be glorified through each of us as we be the body. The events of our lives may be uncertain, but there should be two things that are for sure. Through all life's unexpected moments, our God is with us every step. And the second, that the body of Christ is there for each other, spurring each other on in love and encouragement, holding each other up in prayer, and doing whatever it takes to be the body of Christ. What action step do you need to take today? God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Doug, for that very poignant message during this particular time. We are grateful that you have seen fit to view this recording in the place of actually being with us on a Sunday morning. We encourage you to continue to look for a word from us regarding our future Sundays. So, and now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you now until He returns. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.